Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, November 1st, 2016. With me today, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, man.
Awesome. Glad you're here. And Dave Hamilton, I hope you're well, too.
I am well. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. I'm glad both of you are here. I'm also glad that our sponsor this week is Smart Backup 4 from SoulSignal. We'll talk about them soon. But first, I think we need to have a little bit of a security chat. And the security chat that I'm talking about relates to HomeKit. Dave, you've been doing some research that to cut to the chase, validates what we've both been thinking for a while. And this goes back to the DDoS attack against DIN, where Internet of Things devices were being used to essentially block off access to many websites on the Internet.
Right.
And what I like to think of as an election day preview.
And drink. Anyhow, so one of the things that came out of the whole discussion about what devices we have in our homes, you know, like cameras and smart lights and thermostats, those sorts of things that would be safe from these attacks, people started saying that, well, if you were only using HomeKit, none of this would have happened. And
right.
we were thinking, maybe not so much. And with the research that you've done, Dave, you've come to a conclusion on what actually would and wouldn't be safe.
I have. Yeah. When I saw kind of those reports, I had that feeling that we all know that someone on the internet is wrong. But I knew that it could be me. So I set out to dig as deeply as possible to find out whether it was me or someone else. And it turns out, it was someone else. But so that's the TLDR on that one. But the HomeKit is extremely secure. I want to point that out. In fact, HomeKit is using what I would call bleeding edge security. They've got 3,072 bit keys. Sorry.
Okay. That sounds more reasonable.
Yes. Yeah. But still, like, massive. And for the whole key exchange thing, it's using this elliptical curve pattern so that you have to, like, the two devices have to be in sync in order to even exchange keys, let alone then authenticate once they do. In fact, some people have called HomeKit too secure, only in that when it came out, there were lots of Bluetooth low energy devices, which HomeKit will work on in a general sense, that had CPUs that were too slow to do a reasonable HomeKit protocol authentication. It was like literally taking them 40 seconds to get to the point where they were ready to authenticate with each other. And so that's, frankly, that's been a little bit of the holdup in the adoption of HomeKit, because you need to have a CPU that can really handle all the crazy math is really what it comes down to for the security. However, be it Bluetooth LE devices or Wi-Fi / IP based devices, anything speaking HomeKit is arguably unhackable. I mean, nothing's unhackable, but it's as unhackable as you're going to get in terms of the data being passed across the HomeKit stream. It's very reasonable and safe to assume that no one's going to be able to hack into that HomeKit stream and get either your commands that you're sending or sending their own commands or getting your data without you having added them to your home network. And Apple has that whole process. And it's actually very, very straightforward for the user to build a quote unquote home and then add users to that home. So anyone that's not in your home isn't going to be able to tap into your HomeKit stream without some fluke of crazy math and all of that. It's just not going to happen. It's very, very secure. However, there's nothing, and I've talked to device manufacturers about this. Here's the thing. The software spec for writing HomeKit apps is available online and anyone can read it. The hardware spec is less publicly available. You have to be a hardware vendor. You have to dig in and kind of show some intention, and then you get the spec. That said, I've talked with many, many hardware vendors, three of them, actually, well, including the ones you talked to, Brian, four, and they've all confirmed a number of things. Number one, if you're using Bluetooth LE, which is not using IP, or at least not any form of IP that's accessible from the internet, and the device is only speaking HomeKit, you're actually secure. Those devices are not a problem, but they're not. Those devices are also not going to take place in any botnet attacks or take part in any botnet attacks because they're not connected to the internet. Okay. If your device is IP based, though, there is no restriction put on HomeKit hardware vendors that says, in addition to supporting HomeKit, you therefore also must lock down your devices in these other ways. There's nothing like that. My assumption, I have yet to talk to Apple about this, but I have a call plan with them. My assumption is that Apple would love for everyone to lock down their devices, as we all would. Mm-hmm. But Apple has not enforced that or even mandated in their spec, likely because it would require people to only support HomeKit in their Internet of Things devices. And that, at this stage of the game, just isn't realistic. Most vendors want to have other access to their devices. Maybe it's their own iOS app, right, that is going to communicate not via HomeKit for people that don't have HomeKit, because then they could build an Android app, right? So their own internal apps, or they want it to work with things like Alexa and many other HomeKit standards, right?
That makes sense. Many other non-HomeKit
standards? Sorry, many other smart home standards. Thank you, Brian. Yes. Yep. So there's nothing that stops vendors from doing all of that. And not only was that confirmed by some of these vendors, but it's also confirmed by evidence. There's plenty. All the HomeKit IP-based HomeKit devices are usable via other means. In addition to that, you could build a device, an IP device, that only uses HomeKit, right? And therefore is secure from that standpoint. There's no other way of accessing, or there's no other published way of accessing the device other than via HomeKit. No one's doing that right now, to my knowledge, but it's totally possible. Somebody could choose to. There's nothing wrong with that. But again, there's nothing in the HomeKit standard that says, and therefore, you must lock down the rest of your device. So what we saw with the botnet attack, where it wasn't any smart home standard that was exploited, it was just the embedded Linux operating system in the chipset that these vendors bought that was exploited. Frankly, the vendors probably didn't even know that this chipset had this hole when they shipped all these devices. It could be argued that even the chipset vendor didn't know this hole existed. I don't know if that's true, but an argument could be made, mm-hmm. because there's so many different attack vectors with Linux. You could ship a HomeKit-only device that had exactly that chipset in it, assuming that chipset could be run fast enough to do HomeKit negotiation. And a HomeKit-only device could have been part of that botnet attack. I don't know that that was the case, but on paper, that is possible.
Can I clarify something, Dave?
Please.
Even in that scenario, your HomeKit operations remain secure.
That's correct.
Your HomeKit data.
In every scenario.
In every scenario, right?
Your HomeKit operations, but not necessarily your HomeKit data.
Not necessarily your HomeKit data.
Well,
your HomeKit operations.
HomeKit operations. And when I say not necessarily your HomeKit data, it's probably better to say not necessarily the data that's available to that device. Because if someone can gain root access to your webcam or your router or anything else in your home, if that device is storing its own data, right, then that data is accessible to anyone that has root access to that device. So it's possible to send data to, say, a webcam via HomeKit. The transmission of that is secure, but whatever data happens to land and or reside upon that device is accessible to anyone with access in any way.
Okay, so when you're in the HomeKit ecosystem, your devices are safe, at least today, from being hijacked and used in botnet denial of service attacks.
No.
Wait, only in that ecosystem. But our devices support more than Apple's ecosystem.
Right.
Therefore, any HomeKit device that we have today is a potential vector for being used in a distributed denial of service attack.
With one big asterisk, and that's if someone's doing HomeKit over Bluetooth LE, like Elgato does, right?
Only. Doing that only.
Only. Correct. Right. Yep.
Right. So it's the IP accessible devices, because those devices are relying on chipsets that embed, say, a version of Linux, that yep. they become vulnerable to attack vectors.
Yeah, it wasn't any smart home protocol that was hacked to make these devices into a botnet. It was the embedded operating system, far lower level than any protocol, HomeKit or Alexa or anything else you want. It had nothing to do with the fact that these were smart home devices. I mean, it did in that smart home devices are going to be connected to the internet and, you know, publicly accessible and all of this other stuff. But that's the only part of it that was smart home related. The actual attack had nothing to do with them being smart home devices.
So one of the things that we were talking about when this first came to light was the reality that for most users, we are oblivious. I would add that the three of us may well have had devices in our homes that were part of this botnet attack without ever knowing about it. Back,
correct.
Right?
Yes.
And what's that?
Absolutely. Yes.
So to a certain extent, Apple having done HomeKit in a relatively secure way, but not requiring the devices to be locked down, kind of almost exacerbates that. Like it's almost more likely that an IP accessible HomeKit device could be functioning properly for you. You're not noticing anything, yet it's part of the botnet attack.
Yeah, I do want to point out that just because Apple doesn't mandate this doesn't mean that manufacturers are being responsible about it just because it's good to be responsible about it. Many manufacturers are, and it's worth checking with your device manufacturer and asking them what ports do you leave open and what ports do you lock down? And if they can't answer that question, the good ones will be able to answer that question. For example, I asked Ecobee that question because they make my thermostat, and they told me, oh yeah, since 2009 we've locked down all our ports. And that was long before they added HomeKit support, I'll add. So it's like, okay, great, awesome, that's good to know.
Yeah.
And but they did it because it's not just the right thing to do, it's a smart thing to do. They don't want their devices involved in these types of things. They don't want their users to have to deal with these types of things, so they lock them down. Nothing wrong with that.
Really, I don't want to paint with a too broad a brush here, but it's, I would assume that the smaller the company and the fewer the resources, the greater the opportunity for something not to be locked down on this, just because, you know, it's just human nature.
Yeah, I don't the smaller the company, I think.
They have no data for that.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, yeah, I don't know, because I feel like some of these botnet devices that were used in the botnet attack were not necessarily from small companies. They're just, you know, people buy chipsets. It happens all the time. And you just buy it and bake it in and go. Roll. You know, I would be more likely to trust a purpose, you know, a single purpose company. Like again, someone like Ecobee or Nest when they were just Nest. You know, to build and secure the one device upon which their entire company's future rests.
Yeah, they certainly have a lot more vested in that sort of a device.
But they also have a lot more focus on that device, whereas, you know, a company that's making thousands of different types of devices might not have the same focus on each individual one in terms of just obsessively making sure security is there. Not every company operates like Apple, to be perfectly honest. So yeah, that's my feeling.
All right. Well,
ask the manufacturer.
Yeah, ask the manufacturer. And on one hand, I'm glad that we have validation for what we were thinking. But on the other hand, I'm a little disappointed because
same.
It would have been nice in this case to be proven wrong.
Yep.
So for now, there's not much we can do to protect our devices from participating in DDoS attacks short of unplugging them.
Well, that's not entirely true. You could be really careful about what ports you let these devices open on your router. And I know it's a pain in the neck, but if you turn off UPnP or NatPMP, which allows devices to just open ports on your router without your knowledge, and those things are generally on by default, if you turn those things off and then manually open the ports that go to these devices, you might be able to plug these holes, as long as the holes being exploited aren't the same path that things that you want to have access are going to use. And in the case of this botnet thing, it was port 22 that was open, so you could have blocked that and been okay. So there is stuff you can do, but it's far more work than the general consumer is going to do. Even if we all did that, the botnet attack still would have happened just as easily.
I was talking to the folks at Luma at Pepcom last week.
Yep.
And they said that their routers are actively scanning their own networks for outgoing botnet-style traffic.
That's yep. great.
Which kind of comes back to one of the things, one of your just gut reactions, Dave, one of your just your knee-jerk gut reactions when we were first talking about this was that it's much easier to stop this at the router level than it is at the device level.
I think so. Yeah. I'm glad. That's awesome that Luma's doing that. That's great. That's great. Yep.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, I'm sure we'll end up coming back to this topic again at some point because it's the sort of thing that's just not going to go away. So for now, I guess we'll just kind of let it sit and see what happens. And we have a sponsor today. And that sponsor is Smart Backup 4 from SolSignal. And Smart Backup 4 is a really cool backup application for your Mac that handles everything that you need in a backup app at a pretty reasonable price. And it's designed to take advantage of the fact that so many of the computers that we're buying today are coming with an SSD pre-installed. So their software is optimized to be able to move files far more efficiently to those SSDs than other backup apps can handle. And they're designed knowing that a lot of us have our own little RAID systems just sitting on our desk now, and in some cases, we don't even realize they're a RAID, but we have a magic little box with multiple hard drives backing up files, and Smart Backup 4 can handle getting content to those RAIDs a lot faster and more efficiently than a lot of other apps. I love that even though they've been around for quite a while now, they haven't let themselves get shackled to old technology, and they've been looking to the future, they've been moving forward, and that's why they've created this really great system that can handle our backup needs more efficiently than other products. I also like that they've decided that all of our listeners, all of you, deserve a nice discount on their app. So Smart Backup 4 is usually $34.99, but this week, so through the end of the week, you will be able to buy a copy for $10 off. So that's $24.99. So that's a pretty hefty discount. And all you have to do is go to the special link that will be in today's show notes. I would tell you what the link is, but if I actually say the words, I believe it causes a rift in time and space. So you have to just go and click on it. But if you want to check it out before you buy it, you can go to their website, which is solesignal.com, solesignal.com/smartbackup. And they have a demo version that you can download and test out it. And, you know, it's just a regular trial version. Do all the things, make sure it does what you need. And then when you realize, yes, it does, go ahead and buy your copy before the end of the week so you can pick it up for $24.99. So you can check it out at SolSignal, solesignal.com/smartbackup. And thank you, Smart Backup 4, for being our sponsor today. And I was kind of hoping we'd have time to hit more today, but that discussion about HomeKit and security for Internet of Things devices was just too great for me to cut off. So the other things that I wanted to talk about today, hey, we have some more days in the week, so we can get to those later. Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Dave's pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It always is. And Smart Backup 4 from Soul Signal, thank you for being our sponsor. Check out the link in today's show notes so you can get $10 off your copy. And be sure you do that before the end of the week because it is a time-limited offer. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.